We're delighted to be here at the University of Oklahoma Law School and certainly appreciate the warm welcome that the university, particularly Dean Harris and Dean Falk, have extended to us and has shown us a typical Oklahoma warm welcome. Thank you so much. And we're delighted to meet with many of the students later in the day. We have six cases on the docket this morning, the last which will be heard on the briefs. We may take a break after the first three cases, and we'll let you know about that. First case on the docket is Sierra Club versus Bostic. It's 14-6099, and the court recognizes Mr. Hayes.
Good morning. May it please the court. Douglas Hayes on behalf of appellants in this matter. This case is about the Trans-Canada Gulf Coast Pipeline, which is the southern half of the Keystone XL pipeline.
Counsel, when your voice drops, it's hard to hear, so you need to get closer to the microphone.
Thank you. This is about the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers' approval of the southern half of the Keystone XL pipeline, the Gulf Coast Pipeline. Now, the Corps approved this pipeline by artificially treating it as if it were 2,227 single and complete projects that each qualify under Nationwide Permit 12, which is a Nationwide Clean Water Act permit for utility projects with up to a half acre of impacts. They did that without any project-specific analysis under the National Environmental Policy Act or the Clean Water Act.
Okay, counsel, help me out a little bit here. I know where your argument is going at this point, but as I understand, this pipeline is complete. It's been in use for approximately 2 years. Is that correct?
It's been in use for quite some time.
All right. Then explain to me your position on either the prudential mootness or the constitutional mootness in this case before we get really into the merits of the thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge Bella. This case is not prudentially moot, first for a number of reasons. First of all, the Nationwide Permit 12, which is that issuance in this case, it was issued and it's valid for five years, so it's valid until 2017. So that the claims against Nationwide Permit 12 itself, which is still active, are certainly not prudentially
moot. Well, you keep saying Nationwide Permit, but in this instance, in this pipeline, it has a definite beginning, I believe, here in the state of Oklahoma, if I'm not mistaken, and then to the Gulf. So while it may be a nationwide permit, it has a definite limit in the geography of the pipeline. Isn't that correct?
Yes. So there's the Nationwide Permit 12, which applies to nationwide, and then there's the application to this particular project. And the application of this project or the Gulf Coast Pipeline's use of the permit is also not prudentially moot because the law in the Tenth Circuit states that where the agency still can provide some form of relief, a NEPA case is not moot once the project is completed, the construction of the project is completed. And that's certainly the case here. There's all forms of mitigation measures that the EPA suggested, for example, in this case. That
in your complaint, you didn't ask in the prayer for relief for mitigation measures. Is that correct or incorrect?
We asked for further NEPA analysis for this project, and that a NEPA analysis would inform. That's part of what a NEPA analysis is meant to inform.
But you didn't. Am I correct or incorrect that you did not specifically ask for us to order mitigation measures, or for the district court to order mitigation measures.
In our prayer for relief in the complaint, that's correct. But we did ask for further NEPA analysis of this project. Yeah, but I just want to, I would like to just get into provide a few examples of mitigation measures. For example, the risk of oil spills from this pipeline and other pipelines like it is very real. We've seen some major oil spills in the last 2 years.
Has there been any major oil spills in the last 2 years since it's been operative?
Not from this pipeline, but from other pipelines.
Well, that's
certainly
the pipeline we're talking about is this pipeline, isn't it, Council?
Yes, but when this pipeline was part of the Keystone XL pipeline, There was a 100-page oil spill analysis talking about these risks, and it talks about, for example, smaller leaks up to 5% of the pipeline's capacity might go undetected by these pipeline.
As I understand your argument here is that it was error to not consider the possibility of oil spills in this lake. Is that where you're?
That's correct. Okay. At no stage. So the only NEPA analysis in this case was a 45-page environmental assessment for the nationwide permit 12.
In the 45-page environmental impact statement, I assume you're talking about in the Keystone Pipeline.
No, Your Honor. The nationwide permit 12, when it was issued on a nationwide basis.
That assessment. Let me ask you about the issue of waiver in connection with the oil spills. As I understand Public Citizen, Justice Thomas was saying that it's not the obviousness of the risk of the, for example, here, the oil spill. It's the obviousness of the deficiency for that agency's environmental assessment or environmental impact statement. Am I right or wrong so far?
That's correct.
Rightly or wrongly, the Corps of Army Engineers traditionally and particularly today has taken the position that 33 U.S.C. 1344E requires consideration of the environmental impacts solely in connection with the direct environmental impact from the discharge of dredged or filled material. Am I right or wrong so far?
You're right.
Okay. And you say that's wrong, but that's what the Corps of Army Engineers says now, and that's what the Corps of Army Engineers said at the time that the State Department had the EIS done, correct?
Just if I can understand your question, you're asking if the Corps of Engineers' position is that it only has to look at the discharges of fill material.
That's what the Corps says now, and that's what the Corps' position was at the time that the State Department's EIS was conducted. Right or wrong?
Incorrect, Your Honor.
Okay.
The Nationwide Permit 12 environmental assessment admits NEPA requires an assessment of all environmental impacts, not only those two waterways. And then it says, but those impacts would be analyzed on a project-level basis. That's in the Nationwide Permit 12 environmental assessment. And that's in the appendix at page 517. Now,
did anyone, any of the commenters, complain about the decision to defer consideration of non-aquatic environmental impacts until the district engineer stage under Nationwide Permit 12?
Some commenters did. The Corps responds to that in their analysis. But up until this project, there has always been a project-specific NEPA analysis by some agency, whether it be the Corps or another federal agency, when it issues some kind of action allowing a major project like this to go forward. Now, Sierra Club provided, I think, 10 examples in our brief that this is simply unprecedented and that the Nationwide Permit 12 has never been used this way. And the government didn't dispute that or provide any examples of this sort of thing happening before.
But from the decisional document, it's pretty clear that the Nationwide Permit could be used for oil pipelines, isn't it?
It never mentions oil pipelines but it is for utility projects in the definition.
It does actually mention, I think, that in some places that the pipeline may be conveying oil or fuel.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, and so was there any obligation to object during the nationwide permit promulgation to the lack of consideration of oil spills specifically?
Well, again, Your Honor, we submitted hundreds of pages of comments on the risks of pipelines, including this very pipeline, at that time, but it was in the project-specific NEPA analysis that was ongoing and that had always occurred for these types of projects. It was only later that the Corps switched the processes and said the only NEPA document is going to be this 45-page NEPA analysis that's already finished and for which, and it doesn't mention crude oil pipelines or their risks at all. It doesn't once mention oil spills.
In the hundreds of pages, I'm a little confused. Are you talking about the pages that were submitted in connection with the State Department's consideration of the Keystone Pipeline?
Yes, for which included this pipeline.
Right. In any of those hundreds of pages, was there ever any suggestion by the Sierra Club or any other public commenter that the Corps of Army Engineers was required to consider, to more strictly consider the environmental impacts? In other words, was there ever any suggestion that this was the domain of the Corps of Army Engineers to consider oil spills and other environmental impacts?
Do you mean as opposed to the other agencies that were involved,
right,
like the State Department? It's the State Department was the lead agency, and so they have ultimate approval, disapproval authority. And the Army Corps of Engineers and several other agencies were participating in that process.
My question is pretty specific.
I'm sorry?
My question is pretty specific.
So, I don't believe we directed it to the Corps, but the Corps' name is on the front page of the
I understand document. They're a cooperating agency. But whether it's a cooperating agency or not, let's say it's the lead agency.
Mm-hmm.
I think what you're saying is that no public comment had ever been made in connection with the Keystone Pipeline that the Corps of Army Engineers should have more broadly considered the environmental impacts associated with any aspect of this pipeline, right or wrong.
It was not directed specifically at the Corps, but the Corps it was provided to the Corps, and under the Forest Guardians test in this circuit, there's no question that they had the information.
Well, sure, and there's a lot of environmental agencies with broader regulatory power, such as the EPA or in connection with the Keystone Pipeline, the State Department. But why would it have been obvious to the Corps of Army Engineers that its consideration of the environmental assessment in connection with NWP 12 was deficient by virtue of public comments directed at presumably other agencies, such as EPA or the State Department? Because after all, Public Citizen, I think you acknowledge, talks about the deficiency, the obviousness of the deficiency to the agency whose environmental assessment is in question. So why would it have been obvious to the Corps?
Well, it's not just the obvious question. Again, the test is whether it's obvious or otherwise brought to the agency's attention. And I think that's what's being missed here. The Corps doesn't dispute that they have this information before it, and they can't. Because, this was an environmental impact statement with their name on the front cover. They had that information during the time when they were considering Nationwide Permit 12. So under that part of the test, the Sierra Club has satisfied the waiver doesn't apply in this case. And I think it's also, there's another part of Public Citizen that I think is important here, and that's what the ocean advocates in other cases talk about. It's whether there's a reasonably close causal relationship between the agency's action and the environmental impacts. When the State Department is the lead agency, then it's their approval, disapproval authority that dictates whether or not all these environmental impacts occur. Well, when the Corps is the agency that is the only agency involved, and its 404 action determines whether or not these environmental impacts occur, then it must analyze those impacts under NEPA, and that's what didn't occur in this case.
Do we grant our deference to the Corps' interpretation of Section 1344 in connection with it? Closeness of the relationship that's discussed in Ocean Advocates?
The Corps does not deserve deference in the application of NEPA because that's direct.
But it does in connection with the CWA, which is where 1344E falls, correct?
That's correct.
All right. So the Corps' interpretation of 1344E and the aspect of it with regard to the closeness of the relationship discussed in Ocean Advocates is entitled to our deference, correct?
Well, no, Your Honor. The causal relationship is a question under NEPA and under the Public Citizen. That's not a question under the Clean Water Act. And if I may reserve my last
minute. You might, but I've got one more question, which brings back to one of the original questions that was asked you. What is the remedy that you're seeking here? Before, I mean, you're just throwing this in our lap and say, okay, you formulate the remedy? Is that what you're wanting this court to do?
No, Your Honor. We're seeking further NEPA analysis of this pipeline. And again, we have...
Is that your only remedy that you're wanting? And seek further analysis? And as to what issue? Is it only the issue of whether or not they should have considered other oil spills?
We're asking for the court to vacate the Corps' actions in this case, which is the issuance of Nationwide Permit 12 and the verifications of this project. And we're asking for a NEPA analysis of those actions before the Corps reissues them.
And are we supposed to stop the oil from moving through the pipeline while we're doing that? I think the court's already denied that once, haven't we?
Well, this court certainly has that authority to issue that, as several cases indicate.
But we denied that already once, haven't we?
We denied the preliminary injunction that was before this court previously. We asked for an injunction on construction, which was denied. Yes.
Are you asking for an injunction now?
We are asking for preliminary and permanent injunctions, yes. And it looks like my time is...
Will, your last statement confused me. You want us to reverse for the district court to grant an injunction. You're not asking us to enter an injunction pending appeal.
No, we're asking for... That's correct. We're asking for the court to reverse the district court and enter judgment in our favor.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Turner?
May it please the court, I am David Shilton from Department of Justice, representing the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. I will be sharing about 3 minutes of my time with Mr. Steenland, who represents TransCanada. Also at council table is Andrew Turner, who represents several associations who are affected by Nationwide Permit 12. He will not be presenting argument. So let me turn first to the waiver matter, since that was raised in the previous argument. It has been the position of the Corps of Engineers ever since the inception of Nationwide Permit 12, which has been on the books for over two decades, that what the Corps focuses on are the impacts of construction and repair of utility lines in waters of the United States. The Corps does not focus on operation of the utility that eventually uses that utility line. It does not focus on upland aspects of whatever the utility is.
And let me interrupt you for a minute. That's what the Corps focuses on under the Clean Water Act?
Correct.
Okay. Does the Corps recognize that it also has NEPA obligations that are independent of its Clean Water Act obligations?
It recognizes that it has NEPA obligations, but those obligations are bounded by the scope of its jurisdiction under the Clean Water Act, and I think that's established by the Department of Transportation versus Public Citizen case. This is quite similar to that case, in that case also the plaintiffs were asking a federal agency, the Motor
Well, the difference I see there is that in Public Citizens, there was no way for the agency to stop the Mexican trucks from coming into the country because that was an executive action. And in this case, if there's no permit issued, there is no pipeline.
Not necessarily, Your Honor. If they can construct the pipeline in a way that avoids waters of the United States, and they could do that by tunneling under them.
But they didn't.
They didn't.
Right. So the pipeline as designed can't be built without a permit from the Corps.
As designed, it can't be built without this authorization that comes through Nationwide Permit 12.
Okay. And you would admit that at the major federal action stage, which would be the promulgation of a nationwide permit, there is a requirement to comply with NEPA.
Correct.
Okay. Did all of the NEPA requirements get considered at the stage that the nationwide permit was adopted here, or did they get deferred?
They got considered at that time. That's the appropriate time. They get considered on a general basis because it is a general permit, and the Corps considers the impacts, and it found that there is no significant impact on the environment, so that's why it did not have to do an environmental impact statement. That's consistent with its finding under the Clean Water Act that the effects of the fills that are authorized, both individually and cumulatively, are minimal. And that's really the whole...
And again, I feel like that you're conflating the NEPA requirements with the clean water requirements, even if there's a minimal impact from a clean water standpoint because there's not much impact on dredge and fill. Couldn't there still be a major impact from a NEPA standpoint when you're not limited to looking at dredge and fill?
Well, I think if there's only a minimal effect from what the federal agency is actually authorizing, which is the dredge and fill, then the NEPA consideration is likely to find no significant effect on the environment from that. And there's no obligation under NEPA to consider pipeline operational effects, because that goes way beyond the Corps' jurisdiction. And I think it is similar to the Department of Transportation case, because there, what the plaintiffs wanted was a consideration of the air pollution impacts of the trucks coming across the border. And what the Supreme Court said was that the Motor Carrier Safety Bureau has no jurisdiction or ability to do anything about air pollution impacts, and so it doesn't serve the decision-making process for the agency to examine the impacts of air pollution because it can't do anything about them. It's the rule of reason that applies here, and the rule of reason says that if the particular subject doesn't relate to what the decision that the agency is going to make, then it's just a paperwork kind of thing, and the agency doesn't have to do that. And that relates to the waiver issue as well, which was the waiver question was at play in Department of Transportation case. There the plaintiffs, when they got into court, said, well, there wasn't a consideration of alternatives that would avoid the air pollution impacts. And the court, including the Supreme Court, said, you know, you didn't raise that before the agency. So that's waived, and it's not obvious because it's not something within the agency's jurisdiction. And that's the case here as well. The issue of operating oil pipelines is not within the Corps' jurisdiction. It's something that a different federal agency, the Pipeline Hazardous Materials Safety Administration, oversees. In the Keystone XL EIS process, there were comments about pipeline operation and oil spills, but they were directed to the Pipeline Hazardous Materials Safety Administration and also the State Department, which in that case was making an overall determination on whether the pipeline was in the public interest. Here, there's no federal agency that makes an overall determination of whether a purely domestic pipeline is in the public interest or determines, you know, what the best routing is. The only federal jurisdiction over a domestic oil pipeline like this is that if it does need to cross waters of the United States, then it needs authorization for any dredge or fill operations in those waters. And so that's what the Corps looked at. And I particularly commend some of the recent decisions that have been on this issue, including the one in the D.C. District Court, the Sierra Club versus Bostic, and the recent Mobile Baykeeper decision from the Southern District of Alabama that was provided with a 28-J letter, which have focused on this exact question of what's the scope of the Corps' authority, and have found that the Corps is appropriately interpreting its authority, and that this general permit process where there's a NEPA analysis, an EA at the nationwide permit reauthorization, and that fulfills the NEPA obligation. And then if there is a verification process, if a company has to submit a pre-construction notice, then the district engineers of the Army Corps simply do a double check to make sure that indeed these particular fills don't have any more than minimal effect, and that's a streamlined process that Congress wanted. The Corps has found that this process actually has substantive environmental benefits because it provides a strong incentive for companies like TransCanada to minimize their impact so that they fit within the nationwide permit conditions. So that, for instance, this pipeline, there is a loss of wetlands of only 0.68 acres for the entire pipeline, and that's because TransCanada planned the pipeline to avoid loss of wetlands so that they could fit within the nationwide permit and take advantage of this streamlined proceeding. So, in effect, you're trading off some of the procedural elaborateness you might get with an individual permit, but in return you get a substantive environmental benefit. And TransCanada did things like, horizontal drilling under some sensitive wetlands to completely avoid impact so that it could.
Well, you've spent your whole time in regards to the merits, but I'm still concerned a little bit about this question of prudential mootness or constitutional mootness in regards to this. And after reading Hillsdale, is it my understanding correctly that the Corps of Engineers, during the whole period that the permit exists, still has the authority to modify or correct or change at any time as long as this permit is in effect? Is that correct?
The Corps of Engineers does maintain authority to impose additional conditions.
Then how could mootness then apply?
For that, we have not argued mootness.
I know you haven't,
right.
But I'm asking you that.
And that is the reason. I think it's conceivable that there might be some limited relief if the court were to find that there was a deficiency in the NEPA process. It might be possible to add a mitigation condition or two. But I would say, and I know Mr. Steenland will be talking about
this.
Well,
I didn't want to take up his time in regards to this, so I got your answer in regards to it.
Very good.
Thank you.
The challenge to nationwide permit as a whole, I think, any relief as to that as a whole would be very, very inappropriate, would not be equitably appropriate because the standing of plaintiffs is purely related to this particular pipeline. They've never asserted any injury with respect to other utilities that might be using nationwide permit.
But if the nationwide permit was adopted and did not comply with NEPA when it was adopted, the whole permit would be null and void, wouldn't it, for failure to comply with NEPA?
Well, I think the court could remand to the Corps of Engineers for further NEPA work without setting aside the authority. I think the court has equitable authority to do that without blocking the use of this for other utilities that may have impacts that are very different from here. So I think that the court should not set aside the effect of nationwide permit 12. And again, NWP 12 has been in effect really since at least 1991 without this sort of challenge. It's authorized many.
Has it ever been used until recently for this kind of a magnitude of a oil pipeline? I mean, the argument from the Sierra Club parties is that it has not, that this is a unique use of the nationwide permit as well.
Well, the plaintiffs have not pointed to any instance of a pipeline which could have qualified for NWP 12 that the Corps said, no, you have to get an individual permit for that. It's always been available for oil pipelines and other pipelines, and I believe it's been used frequently. So there's been no change in how the Corps of Engineers has administered this. I don't want to take Mr. Steenland's time. Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I'm Peter Steenland on behalf of TransCanada, and I'd like to turn directly first to Judge McHugh's questions about whether this has been used or not. Yes, the answer is that many companies have used this program and permit because it saves money, it saves time, it makes sense, and it's exactly what Congress wanted. TransCanada used it when it built the original Keystone Pipeline several years ago. Enbridge used it when they built the Alberta Clipper Pipeline. If you look at the decision from Judge Jackson in D.C., it's being used now by Enbridge again in the Flanagan Pipeline. In the Mobile Baykeeper case, there's an oil pipeline. This is standard practice. Why would anybody go to the Corps of Engineers and commence a lengthy individual permit process if you didn't have to? The goal here by Congress in 404E was to separate those low-issue crossings and dredge and fill from the ones where the Corps needed to spend time. And, Judge McHugh, that's why the NEPA issue here is so narrowly focused. NEPA is a report. It's a procedural obligation. And we know that NEPA does not expand an agency's substantive authority.
But there's nothing in the Clean Water Act that says you are excused from complying with NEPA.
Absolutely
if you
not.
Undertake a major federal action.
That is correct.
The
that
only difference is that you do NEPA at the nationwide stage, so you don't have to do it at the verification
because
stage.
Because when you do it at the nationwide stage, what you conclude is that the activities authorized are not major federal actions. By definition, if they were, you wouldn't qualify for it. You'd have to go to the individual permit. And that's where...
But it's not your position that at the nationwide stage you only have to look at aquatic impacts, is it?
My position is that you look at only those things for which the agency is responsible, because that's all that they're doing.
Well, that's the $64 question. What is the agency responsible for?
And, Your Honor, let's go to the statute. Let's look at the statute, because the answer is very simple. 404E talks about general permits for any category of activities involving discharges if the Secretary determines that the activities in such category are similar and minimal, etc. So the question is, what do we mean by activities?
Well, what do we, they would say, well, what do we mean by a category of activity?
A category of activity. That's right. That's what this case is all about. And the Sierra Club says categories of activities: oil pipelines, coal mines, electric transmissions. We say no. Category of activities involve discharges. And if you take a look at the Fourth Circuit case, Bulin, if you take a look at the district court case in Kentucky Riverkeeper, every time they use the word activity, they're not talking about the coal mine, they're not talking about the pipeline, they're talking about the construction, maintenance, or filling of a project in borders of the United States. It's a narrow focus. And what the Corps says here is if you can confine your crossings to less than half a mile, we have determined by definition there is no adverse impact. And
you
if there's no adverse
close.
Impact, Judge
Counsel,
McHugh, you
Counsel,
don't need to do NEPA.
You need to bring it to a close.
I'm sorry. I'm over time, and I haven't answered Judge McHugh's, Judge Baldock's question about prudential mootness, but it's in the briefs. Thank you, Your Honors.
All right. In light of the fact that counsel went over time, we'll give the appellants 1 minute and 30 seconds for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. I just want to make one point about the agency's NEPA obligations that was just being discussed. It sounds like the Corps' position is that they can limit their analysis under NEPA to the discharges in the waterways, but the cases in this circuit and other circuits indicate that that's not true. The Hillsdale case that talks about mootness also talks, I mean, that entire case is about the Army Corps of Engineers issuing a 404 permit for a intermodal rail facility, and it was required to analyze the fugitive dust emissions from the trucks, air quality impacts, everything else. So that, the Ocean Advocates case, several other cases indicate that under NEPA, not the Clean Water Act, the Corps is required to analyze these other impacts when it's a product of their action. So thank you.
Thank you. The case will be submitted. I thought that both counsel really helped us, certainly didn't help us in making the case easy, but certainly did a wonderful job in your respective briefs and in your advocacy today. Thank you all. The case will be submitted.